Welcome to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have all of you joining us for our speaker series. Today is a very special day. I'm so excited to introduce our featured speaker for the day, which is Chris Jones. And Chris Jones is known as a serial entrepreneur, a sought-after investor, best-selling author, accomplished speaker, and a world traveler. Chris was the founder and former president and CEO of Pepper Jam, a full-service internet marketing agency and affiliate network he founded in 1999 and sold to eBay Enterprise in 2009. And during his tenure at Pepper Jam, he led the company to three consecutive Inc. Magazine fastest-growing company recognitions and dozens of additional awards and honors. Chris is a contributing writer for Forbes, Inc., Fast Company, Business Insider, and Citibank Financial. He's been quoted as a business and marketing expert in over 50 publications, including The Wall Street Journal, Entrepreneur Magazine, Huffington Post, Business.com, Fox Business, Mashable, Black Enterprise, and Success Magazine. And I could take up this entire hour talking about how amazing Chris is because there's just so much that he has done over the years. But why don't we welcome our speaker today? So, Chris, thank you so much for joining me.
Amy, thank you so much. I'm absolutely exhausted after hearing that bio. Oh, God.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted for you. You
Guess
have
what?
Done a lot, my dear.
it's really not as hard as any of your listeners might think. And I hope to kind of discuss with you today, you know, some of those strategies that I've used that really honestly don't require as much sweat as most people make them out to have.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. And just to think that it all had to start somewhere, right? I mean, everyone who's listening right now, they're at whatever point they are at in their business. And you, like the rest of the world, are a human being that had to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would love for you to just take us back in time a bit and let us know a little bit about your story and some of your own miracle business breakthroughs. So can you take us on a little journey?
Yeah, I mean, so to understand, I think my story is to go back to when I was a teenager, and I was 14 years old. I was at a friend's house. We were listening to Metallica with headphones on. My buddy's name was Brian. He was playing air guitar. I was playing air drums, and we were chilling out like, you know, teenagers do. And his father came. Father came into the bedroom, and he said, "Brian, turn down your stereo." And Brian's like, "Well, no, dad, you know." And his dad's like, "Turn down your stereo." And he said, "Hey, guys, you guys come up here and you listen to the radio every day, and you know, listen to your music." He's like, "I'd really like to introduce you to this guy by the name of Tony Robbins." And Dr. Drew was holding this box of tapes called Personal Power. And he tried to pitch us on Tony Robbins. Brian's like, "Later, Dad." And so we went back to playing Metallica. And, you know, I don't know, a little bit of time went by and the tapes were sitting there. And I said to Brian, I was just inquisitive. I said, you know, I was like, "Dude, maybe we should pop in one of these tapes and listen to it." So we did that. And then I asked him to borrow it. So I did Personal Power at literally the age of 14. And for those listeners that don't know who Tony Robbins is, you know, he's had an unbelievable amount of success as a personal and professional development coach. But here's the miracle breakthrough I had from that particular experience. I realized that everything that I need to be successful, everything that I need to be who I want to have a purpose-driven life is within me right now. And I realized that I could do and achieve anything I set my mind to, you know, in business and in life. And, you know, as a teenager, I realized that there were a lot of people around me who were making different decisions, you know, and I mean, that is held consistent through the last, you know, 30 years, not quite 30 years of my life, but still in my 30s, but 25 years of my life. And you know, that has driven my business decisions. It's driven my personal life, that I have everything within me now, that what I set my mind to, I have the personal power, I have the ability to achieve. So, anyway, from that moment, you know, I made a lifelong commitment to, you know, teaching myself everything I possibly could about how to become a better person, how to become a better business person. And it wasn't until 2009 when, I'm sorry, 1999, when mm-hmm. I was in graduate school that I actually started to apply it to business.
Wow.
And so I a lot of those principles that I learned from Tony Robbins and from other great personal and professional development coaches, I've really applied over the last 17 years of my career as a digital marketing professional. Mm-hmm. And, by having that as a backdrop, here are a couple of the other breakthroughs I've learned, becoming a really successful entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the hardest things, Amy, for entrepreneurs is taking the first step. The reason
right.
they won't take that first step is because they fear failure. I mean, we
right.
all do. I mean, everybody who's human has some insecurity or discomfort around the possibility of failure. And so what I did, and what I continue to do, by the way, it's a work in progress, but mm-hmm. I've redefined what failure means to me. Failure isn't final. It's actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to pivot your business. It's an opportunity to share with someone else so that they don't fail. It's an opportunity to appreciate, like take a deep breath and appreciate what is working. It's not
mm-hmm.
some final, you know, there's no finality really to failure unless that's what your definition of failure is. So when I realized that, you know, and as I continue to appreciate that reality, I tend to be a lot more successful, you know? And just two more things I wanted to share regarding some of the breakthroughs I had as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please do.
One area, this is really my mantra. So if, you know, for folks that are out there that know me or follow me, you've heard me say this before, but I've never, ever felt that it was more true than this day. And that is, every day is a baseline. So again, applying those personal and professional development skills as an entrepreneur is, and sort of embracing the psychology of successful entrepreneurship, is appreciating that everything's not going to go as planned. You know, it's rare that, you know, your initial excitement over a business idea or over an opportunity, it's rare that it actually achieves that original excitement. But that's okay. That's okay. It's okay as long as you realize that every day is the baseline. If today wasn't as great as we thought, or if it was just exceptionally awesome, you know,
mm-hmm.
either way, tomorrow when we wake up as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as business coaches, it's a total new opportunity to create your destiny, to achieve your dreams, to really live a purpose-driven life. And then the final thing that I wanted to share with your listeners is really where I've been into some of the first three breakthroughs I shared with you. Have really, they're core to who I am as a person and as an entrepreneur. This final one is who I want to be. And it's I'm working really hard at it. And I call it a business scientist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage all entrepreneurs to think this through from their own perspective. We all have the ability to self-educate and learn why certain businesses and entrepreneurs succeed and others fail. Like, we spend too much time, you know, like addicted to or in love with our idea or in its potential.
Mm-hmm.
But ideas are a dime a dozen. They're overrated. It's business execution that wins 99 out of 100 times. The unicorn, which is this idea that somehow takes a life of its own and it becomes a multi-billion dollar company, is the unicorn. For all of us that are like, that don't have that opportunity to have a unicorn type of business, we need to become business scientists. We need to learn all of those factors that are consistently associated with successful entrepreneurs and successful people, and those that are associated with entrepreneurs that aren't successful. And that over the last 2 years, you mentioned in my introduction that I've been writing a lot and for some pretty awesome publications like Fast Company and Forbes and Inc. Magazine and others. I'm grateful for those opportunities, but I've been writing on these, on business science. A lot of what I write is on business science. So what are those things? And that's what I've been trying to write at. So anyway, without telling you what I do, I just told you how I think, and that's what's right. Most important. That's the breakthrough. You could give me any business idea and I could apply the principles that I just shared with your audience to, and you know what? We'll make it work. I'm an investor, so I've invested in 15 companies. And when I'm meeting with someone who comes in and pitches me their business idea, I share bits and pieces of what I just shared with you. And I say to them, you know, I'm here actually because I invest in people, not ideas. And then I tell them that if you're the right person, if you have the right makeup of being a successful business person, you and I will make $5 million selling purple ketchup. And then they look at me funny. They look at me funny, and then a light bulb goes off. And then I tell them the reason why is because if we get the business science right, if we get the execution right, if you listen and you take what I know now that I didn't know then, meaning that whole learning experience, that whole journey, we could take ketchup, change its color, and make a multi-million dollar business out of it. So anyway, they're my business breakthroughs, miracle breakthroughs. I hope your listeners find some value in that.
These are just, they're so great. I mean, I myself am taking notes as we're talking because I just feel like everything you're sharing is so powerful and inspiring. And, you know, oftentimes people just want to know, how do I get there? What do I need to do? Or here's my idea, like you're saying. Everyone has an idea, right? And they think they need to have the next great idea to be successful. But what you're talking about with being a business scientist and really focusing on execution and really having the mindset of what you talked about failure isn't final, I mean, that is such a huge part of it, isn't it?
It's really my secret, I think, to success. I mean, you know, when I was at dinner with my wife last night, and I just reminded her that, you know, during my high school years, I really wasn't that great of a student, and I didn't, I came on pretty strong later in high school. And the reason why I'm sharing that is because I went to school for 9 years after high school, so I have an undergraduate degree in psychology, a master's degree in experimental psychology, and I have a law degree. But all of that came, Amy, from more about what I just shared with you than just raw ability. Like, I had to work harder than a lot of people that it came easy to. And I don't really think that matters. You know, once you realize that, you know, you could accomplish anything, that you become more inclined to take the first step. And when you take the first step, you know how many people are still standing at the start line? You've already increased the odds of your success by having whatever you want to call it. My grandfather used to call it gumption, to take that first step. Once you do that, the learning experience, the learning process, you know, begins. And if you have the right attitude about it, 100 million percent. I mean, it is what I think is really my secret over all these years. It's just my background in psychology and personal and professional development.
So when you were talking about why some people succeed and why some fail, and really learning about that versus just learning about or thinking about the ideas and all of that, do you have some of your favorite resources in order to learn, whether it's books or people that you've really followed, in addition to Tony Robbins, about how our entrepreneurs can and our listeners can really learn from those people on why some succeed and why some fail?
So, you know, I was just recently, someone asked me a version of that question, and I said to them, you know, since I was young, right, I've always been a reader of magazines like Ink Magazine, and there was this old magazine that was really my favorite called Business 2.0. They've since shut their doors, but I consume a lot of magazine content. I love reading stories about, you know, new and emerging companies, successful entrepreneurs. So there's one example. Just if any of your listeners don't get subscriptions to some of those leading magazines, they should. The second thing is I've always loved to read biographies and autobiographies. Like, I'm infatuated with it. Like, I've read probably 5 or 6 on Warren Buffett, and I've read multiple on, you know, John F. Kennedy. And I love reading, you know, like the History Channel and, you know, getting into the mindset of successful people, business and non-business, but, you know, there's correlations there. Bloomberg TV, what's the name of it? Bloomberg TV does like 30-minute interviews with successful business people. The one that I've watched more times than any other is on Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla several other companies. So that's another source just for your listeners that, you know, they exist in, you know, 30 and 60 minute segments, but you watch them and you keep watching them and you pay special attention to how these entrepreneurs and business people think and how they make decisions. Because what I thought you were going to ask me was for specific, you know, what have I learned as a business scientist, you know, and we would get into things like perseverance and optimism, decisiveness versus indecisiveness, being self-aware, those kind of things. But to further answer your question, so in addition to the things I mentioned, I mean, I like to consume on a daily basis a lot of online content. So, you know, like TechCrunch.com, just as an example. I like to see, you know, what, you know, not only companies that are raising capital, but what are the new industries? You know, what's likely to happen? You know, if you could start trying to predict the future as an entrepreneur, the only way you could do that is if you consume a lot of, you know, current content. You know, like where are investors putting their money? So you have sites again like TechCrunch. There's something called VentureBeat. I actually consume a lot of those through an app called Flipboard, which I just have on my iPad. Flipboard. Yeah, FLIPBOARD. And you know, when I'm laying in bed at night, I'll peruse through, you know, 20, 30 different sources of content. Flipboard makes it really, really easy. So you could consume the headlines, and you could also, you know, click on those headlines and then, you know, read the larger article. But, you know, so I guess the short answer, that was a long answer. The short answer to your question is by just consuming a lot of content. That's how I become a business scientist. You know, the other is by being one. By being an entrepreneur, like I think we all should take, let's everybody who's listening to us, let's make this commitment that at some point in the next 48 hours, you're going to sit down, you're going to take a blank piece of paper, you're going to draw a line through the middle. And on the left-hand side, you're going to write down all of the things that have worked that, you know, you want to ultimately define your business. And then on the right-hand side, you're going to put down things that that haven't worked or the things that don't appear to be working or the things you're concerned about or struggling with, right? And when you do that process of self-reflection, instead of just, you know, waking up every morning and just showing up,
right?
You know, now you're predicting the future, you're anticipating the future, you're minimizing that right-hand column. You're taking let's just say you don't have none of us have an infinite amount of resources financially, but really the biggest, most valuable resource is time. And so when you look at that left-hand side and the right-hand side, my guess is you're probably spending way too much time on the stuff on the right-hand side. You just are. Most people are in cleanup mode. And I suggest that successful entrepreneurs are in the left-hand column more often. They're spending time on optimizing the things that are working. They're trying to minimize the things that aren't working. And, you know, if we do that more regularly, you know, we start to grow so much quicker. Our businesses grow. You know, we feel that we're starting to, like, spend most of our time on the things that we enjoy the most, that we care about the most. Yeah, I mean, and it's a work in progress. I mean, I'm ultimately sharing with you who I'm trying to be, what I'm trying to do, and what I do. But I don't, you know, as a public speaker, writer, entrepreneur, I mean, you know, this might actually surprise your audience, but I actually believe that, well, first off, I believe we all have the ability to accomplish anything we want. But I also believe that the world isn't always fair. And I think that we have to have that acceptance. We don't need to cast blame or whatever. So and my point is that I know that things aren't going to always go as I plan. I know that even if I spend more time on that left column, the things that are working, the things that I'm enjoying, the things where I'm seeing the best results, I'm not always going to get the feedback that I may have gotten in the past. But again, if every day is the baseline, and if we realize that that's just life, you know, things are going to happen. It's the psychology, I guess, that I think is is one of the biggest differentiators between successful people and people who are struggling to succeed.
Oh, that's so good, and I love that the challenge that you're giving everybody. So I really encourage everyone to do that, because I think if we all spend more time on things that have worked and how we want to define ourselves and our businesses, the world would probably be a better place, really. A really great, great exercise. So I want to ask you, when you were talking about who you are being now and who you want to be, will you share with us who that person is and who that person is becoming as Chris Jones?
So, you know, I think one thing that people struggle to achieve is balance, balance in work and life, right? So for me, for Chris Jones, I should be looking in a mirror, like, you know,
right?
Like that Saturday Night Live segment when you're good enough. You know what? You're
good enough.
Okay.
Yep.
But anyway,
daily
affirmation.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, both everything in my personal, my professional life is goal driven. So this question that you asked me, even though it's a pretty deep question, I actually have goals that I've written down about who I do want to become, who I am becoming, and who I want to become. You have to do that. You've got to get really clear on your outcome. And your outcome is who you want to be ultimately. But so for me on a personal side, you know, I have an amazing wife. I have three healthy, wonderful children who are all healthy. I'm so grateful for that. But I have all kinds of goals around that, you know, about being able to balance that. You know, my wife is number one. I've written that, believe it or not, I've written that down. I've had to teach myself that because business, I get a lot of juice and a lot of energy out of achievement. I've been a high achiever for a long time, and for whatever my genetic makeup or whatever makes me feel real good when I accomplish things. But accomplishing things is not more important than making my wife number one and spending quality time with my children and my extended family. So I have goals around that, and I feel like I'm achieving them. I think a lot of know me would say that one of the things that I don't know, that they would find remarkably almost impossible is how I actually have work-life balance. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I spoke at a conference in Hamburg, Germany. I went to Austin, Texas for a board that I sit on. I was in New York City till 2:30 in the morning two nights ago on business. And I've also gone to movies with my kids. I took last Friday off and I went to Philadelphia so that my son, who was on spring break, he's 6 years old, could go to the Lego exhibit in Philadelphia. And mm-hmm. so anyway, all of those things are the personal. On the professional side, most of my goals are driven by contribution. Having the amazing opportunity that I had to build Pepper Jam, which was the company that I built and sold to eBay Enterprises, affords me the opportunity to spend a lot of the things I do professionally are like this, like what we're doing right now, contribution. Right. So I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of public speaking, most of which I don't get paid for. I do get paid for consulting, and I do often get paid to public speak, but that's not necessarily what I'm looking for when someone asks me to speak. It's more about, can I add value? Can I contribute? And then there are specific goals. I'm an entrepreneur. When I always tell this story of, in my hometown, I'm in northeastern Pennsylvania, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. And I remember being like 19 years old, driving down Market Street, which is this main thoroughfare in Kingston, Pennsylvania. And there was a hoagie shop, like a hoagie, they sold stubs, And I would drive by it. I would drive by that little hoagie shop, and I would say, how many hoagies do they have to sell in order to generate $1 million? And then I would think about that. And then I would reverse engineer it, meaning, how many they'd have to sell in a week, how many that they'd have to sell in a month. And then ultimately I'd be like, there ain't no way they're selling $1 million in hoagies, because it's just too hard, So that hoagie guy needs, or gal needs, to be able to open up more hoagie shops. So I'm an entrepreneur at heart. Like I want to create multi-generational wealth for my kids. I want to be able to help every single entrepreneur that I invest in achieve the same dramatically incredible dream that I've been able to lead by having built and sold my company. A lot of what I do on that side of my life is about, contribution, and then also just having specific goals, because I want to grow. If you don't grow, you die,
Right.
I put a lot of energy into achieving those goals, and I write the goals down, and some of them are monetary, some of them are. I remember 5 years ago, I wrote down that I wanted to buy a lake home, so a second home on a lake, and the reason I wanted to do that was because I wanted not only my immediate family, my wife and kids, but also my her side of the family, my brother and sister and my sister's kids. I wanted it to be almost like a place where the family could meet up, and go out on a boat and all this stuff. So that was 5 years ago. Guess what? At the on December 16th of this year, guess what that means? That's the 5 year point for those goals. Guess who's buying a lake home this summer?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Of course you are.
If I didn't write it down, and if I didn't, and it was purpose driven, the reason that I want to buy that lake home is not so I could, not only so that I could do, so I go fishing or boating myself, it's more about how I could bring my family together and all those things. So, yeah.
That is so good. It's funny because I think about how often newer entrepreneurs might think further out, but they're also trying to find out, how am I going to pay the bills this year? How am I going to get started? And it's almost hard for them to wrap their heads around buying a lake house, in 5 years. But I think one thing that's different about what you described was the purpose behind it was more than just having this beautiful home for yourself or your family. It was a broader outreach, and it's really in line with what I see and what I hear as your core values of providing contribution and adding value to others, whether it be in your business or in your personal life. And I just think it's such a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's exciting.
Well, we haven't moved in yet. We haven't moved in yet, but the bid has been accepted. Now we got to go through inspection and some other fun stuff.
And it'll be here before we know it, right? It's coming up so fast. So,
I can't wait. I can't wait.
You know, this is so great because it's funny because, you know, whenever you think about an interview or a conversation with someone, I really enjoyed our conversation even leading up to today. And I put together some thoughts about questions I was going to ask you, and I completely have gone down a different path because of the things you've been talking about are so much more profound and deeper than some of the things that I kind of put as kind of bullet points. But I really appreciate you sharing these really deep and thought out elements of what has been a part of your success. And again, I think so often people, they jump way far ahead and they're like, I want to get to a point of making passive income in the next 12 months. And they're not always going deeper than that and thinking about why they want it and what's important to them and really being that entrepreneur that has the success mindset and have it be purposeful and meaningful. And that's really in line with what I'm about. So I can relate to everything you're talking about. And it really is very inspiring and empowering. So thanks for sharing so many things on a deep level. That's great.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So yeah. I do want to ask a few questions because there was some things that I came across in our conversation prior to today, as well as your website, and that just piqued my curiosity, and I just wanted to talk about them. So can you tell us a little bit about your SEO virtual blueprint book? I see that it started off, it's the best-selling book, Search Engine Optimization, Your Visual Blueprints, Effective Internet Marketing, which was originally published in 2008, and now you've got several editions of SEO Virtual Blueprint book. So can you just share a little bit about that book and what most people have found most beneficial from that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I've written three editions, so 2008, 2010, I believe, and then 2013. It's in a visual style. So one of the things that really makes it unique is, for visual learners. So for anyone that, has difficulty reading sort of most SEO books are theoretical and sort of long form and quite honestly boring. The visual aspect of it, and my publisher, Wiley, really was very rigid, if you will, in a good way, about the format. So the way the book is set up is it's set up with tasks, meaning, they made me kind of identify the actionable steps of search engine optimization, and then I set it up in the form of text in like a task form. And then the second page of of that task is all visual. So, so as you're going through the task and you're learning about, for instance, how to optimize title or meta tags or, how to do something more, even more advanced, like applying all image tags or something like that, you have the images right beside it. The book itself is about 60% search engine optimization, 20% pay-per-click, and then 20% a combination of social media and traffic monetization. So even though it is an SEO book and that's how it's been marketed, it actually is, a bit broader than most of the SEO books out there that just focus on SEO as a sort of, as an online marketing channel. So the book, when I was first approached, I was approached in it was probably 2006, maybe 2007. And I had always, I thought, how do you make a difference in this world? And I figured, well, one way is to write a book. And I thought it would be a book that would be more mainstream and more sort of popular culture type of thing, like some of the stuff that I talked about during this interview. So maybe that book is coming one day. I didn't tell you the other, I didn't tell you the other goals that I've written down. But anyway, the SEO book, So they approached me. So I didn't, it's so crazy because people are like, how do you get a book published? I mean, I'm the luckiest person in the world because Wiley Publishing, a top three publisher in North America, approached me and said, hey, you seem to be, out there and talking about these topics and people listen and people, seem to be responsive. Do you want to write a book for us on SEO? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. And then they're like, well, it's a visual book. And then I thought about that. I'm like, I'm not so sure I'm a visual learner. And I'm not even sure that you could write a book on visual SEO.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, trust us. We've done the market research. Nobody's done this before in terms of written a book from a visual perspective on SEO. So I was the first person to do it. And it's been like the best-selling book on SEO. You know, it's almost 100,000 copies have been sold. And, mm-hmm. I've had a ton of people, really say great things about the book and about how they've leveraged it to grow their business to, I actually had a guy, so I'll do book signings from time to time. And I had a guy, this was one of the only times I did a book signing where it seemed like the line just kept going. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'll do a book signing and it'll be like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Nobody's going to show up. But anyway, check this out. So there's this huge line, and finally, like three or four deep, the guy introduces himself, and he tells me what company he's from, and he says uh-huh. that eight people behind me that are holding your book because they wanted me to sign it are my employees.
Uh-huh.
So here's a guy who literally read the book himself, was like, you guys have to read this book, and then literally bought it for his team. And his team was bigger than eight, but he uh-huh. flung people to this particular conference. It was like a PubCon back in, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And they all read it. The other thing is it's been a textbook in a number of different college and universities. So anyway, yeah, that's a little bit more on the book.
That's really great. I love hearing the stories too of just how, start off with this idea and this book and then how it can affect so many lives, including being a textbook used in classes. So that's really fantastic.
I just want to say one thing quick is that I don't want to make it sound so easy. Writing a book is a gargantuan task. It mm-hmm. was just a Goliath level task. The second thing is I wanted to just say how it changed my life in that, it's almost like I don't have a PhD, but I imagine if I had a PhD and then everybody after that day starts calling you doctor, publishing a book. And by the way, no matter who publishes it, in my case, I had a great publisher, but the reality is you could self-publish, which I've done, through Amazon and other things. There was a dramatic shift in the way that, from a business perspective, people treated me as a published author. It is a secret, really, to building your personal brand. And it really is so easy to do these days. You don't have to do it like old school, like I did it, going through a book publisher. And oh my God, it was a 6-month process and just an ungodly amount of probably thousands of hours, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to share that one, it's a huge, huge thing to take on. And then two, but it'll change your business career for the better. I mean, it's a real game changer. I went from being, sitting on panels at conferences, which is awesome, to being a keynote. All of a sudden people wanted to bring me in as a keynote because I was a published author, a best-selling author, in fact.
Right.
It's pretty awesome.
Very cool. So I also wanted to ask you about speaking opportunities. So for the entrepreneurs who are interested in doing more speaking opportunities, what advice or tips would you provide?
Wow, that is a great question. You need to have a lot of knowledge about a very specific topic in order to really be qualified to be a public speaker. So, whatever the profession or the industry is that the listeners are in, you just want to become, an expert on topics. And by the way, that's, what makes an expert? The only thing that makes an expert is when someone else says that they're an expert. So it's not, the hurdle isn't that large. And the other thing is you need to identify where the speaking opportunities in your industry are. And you need to put yourself in those environments. I mean, when I got my first speaking opportunity, I was at Search Engine Strategies, which is a search engine marketing conference. It was in New York City. I was at a networking event, and I coincidentally bumped into a gentleman by the name of Chris Sherman, who's the co-founder of Search Engine Strategies. He's now behind, he and Danny Sullivan partnered to found something called SMX. But I was chatting with Chris, and you know, he'd asked me what I do, and it was an opportunity for me to give him a little bit of specialized knowledge about what I know. And he said to me, he said, "Have you ever thought about speaking at SES?" And you know, I just about, you know, crapped my pants because you know, I you know, like, of course I have. No, like, I'm dreaming of it, Chris. Yeah, of course. You know, that's why I'm here. You know, but. No, I said, you know, I'd really love that opportunity. And I swear to you, he said, so again, I put myself in the environment. I have specialized knowledge. And he said to me, it was either a month later or 2 months later, my first speaking gig ever was in my profession was in Toronto, Canada. And that's interesting because I'm from the U.S., and so I actually literally had to go to a different country to get my first speaking opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the other hint is you have to be willing to, you know, take that opportunity, even if it's not a perfect fit. The topic that he had me speak on was something that wasn't core overlap to what I knew. So I really had to educate myself before that panel. But so again, I mean, the takeaways there are, you know, you identify the conferences that might be a fit for your particular, you know, area of expertise. You put yourself in those environments. You network with the people that are making the decisions about who speaks and who doesn't speak. You got to be prepared that when you get the opportunity to speak with those people, you take advantage of it and communicate to them, you know, your specialized, you know, knowledge. And by the way, in that case, I didn't have to ask him to speak, but I think you should be prepared to make the ask, you know. My story could have been like this: "Hey, Chris Sherman, you know, my name's Chris Jones. I founded a company called Pepper Jam. We focus in affiliate marketing. We help connect website owners with advertisers on a performance basis. Yada yada yada." So he would have been like, "Wow, this guy knows a lot about affiliate marketing. And by the way, I see that you have a whole day of panels on affiliate marketing, you know, and I really would love to be on one of those panels one day. You know, what do I do to prepare for that? You know, how do I go about it? Is there any way that you could give me some feedback on that?" So anyway, that's sort of my, you know, you have to put yourself in the environment. You have to have some specialized knowledge. And you know, you just make it happen, make it a must, set it as a goal, and it'll become a reality.
So tell me, Chris, what are you focusing on now in your world?
In my world, I am focusing on, in my professional life, I am focusing on business science, relentlessly. And I'm trying to take everything that I'm learning, and apply it to the companies that I've invested in and the companies that I've founded. And, you know, part of that is the self-education that I mentioned earlier of just, you know, continuing to consume content. So I'm looking for themes that are happening in technology, and I'm trying to figure out how, you know, those, you know, certain themes might combine to create the next big, you know, business. I'm sharing that knowledge with the, you know, the startup founders and teams of the companies that I've invested in. And so I'm doing a lot of that. As I've already said, you know, I'm doing a lot of writing and public speaking around these topics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I'm spending my energy on, you know, and I'm probably less interested right now at this point in my career of adding a bunch of new investments as I am in making sure that the ones that, you know, I've already invested in, that I'm giving them everything I possibly can in terms of value. And in some cases, like there's one startup that was came out wasn't. I co-founded a mobile app development company called Appek, APPEK, mobile apps, with two entrepreneurs that were Penn State University graduates where I went to school. They graduated many years after I did, so they're still young entrepreneurs. But so we co-founded this company together, and two summers ago we were holding a hackathon, which is when techie people try to build stuff in very short periods of time. And we came up with this app called French Girls App, which allows mm-hmm. you to mm-hmm. take a selfie, submit it, and then anybody in the world could draw you. And we never could have predicted just how successful that would have become. And the reason I'm sharing that story is because it's become so successful, and I was spending such an increased amount of time helping these guys that, I'm pretty much a core part of their executive team now, where it's only 2 days a week, but for those 2 days, I literally put my French Girls App hat on backwards. I go into their offices and we try to accomplish as much as we can. So that's happening with a couple of the companies I invested in as well. And I'm doing that with a couple other ones. I have a local SEO company called LSEO.com, which I founded, and working a lot with Thomas Free, who runs the company for me, and helping coach him, helping him from a day-to-day basis, grow that business. And there's a couple other ones too, but I won't go into the details of that. That's pretty much what I'm doing from a professional standpoint. And I'll tell you what, I am sincerely grateful, for the platform that I have to do what I'm doing, and anyone that's listening, could achieve that same sense of grace, that same sense of gratitude. And it doesn't have to be on the scale that I'm experiencing it on. It's really about thinking about who you want to become. What is your outcome? What is your outcome? Don't put the answer to that question off. Mm-hmm. And when you answer mm-hmm. it, it doesn't have to be an absolute. It's a moving target. And so who you may want to become ultimately right now may change in a couple years, mm-hmm. depending on a whole mm-hmm. range of factors. But it's absolutely critical to your success or failure to become clear on who you want to be. What are your goals? You need to think them through and make sure they're consistent with who you want to be. And you need to get super, super clear on that. And if you do that, you'll start building up, more and more experiences and successes, and before you know it, you could be living your dream. You could be living exactly what you want. So instead of reacting to the world, you're creating your own destiny. You're not waiting for it to happen. You're creating it. Mm-hmm.
That is such great advice. So, Chris, a lot of our listeners are newer coaches and trainers and consultants and entrepreneurs that would love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 or more every single month on a consistent basis. So I'm asking each of our experts to share their top three tips that our listeners can apply right away in their businesses to work towards that specific goal. So what three tips can you share with our listeners today?
By the way, your listeners should know that you are probably the most organized and just incredible person when it comes to prepping the people you interview. You're unbelievable. like I'm totally blown away by it. So the benefit of it is what your listeners are experiencing on this interview and what they're going to experience when I give them the answer to this question, because you did tip me off that this was an area that you were going to focus on. And my response is specific, but it's not going to take me more than 30 to 60 seconds to describe. So
okay.
If you want to make $10,000 a month, I think you need to immediately start focusing on your personal brand. And there's a lot of ways you could do that by building up your audience on social media, by creating opportunities to public speak, to be a contributing writer, to publish your own work. So you need, by focusing on your personal brand, you need to have a blog like you do, Amy, that, mm-hmm. you know, tells your story and also is a platform for you to share your vision, to share your stories, to tell people what you think about. It's critical. And of course, as you build that, you'll create an opportunity to monetize that blog. You know, there are a number of you could stop there if you're really good at producing content and you've got really good stories and you add a lot of value to your readers. You know, you could stop there and make $10,000 a month just on blog monetization. But as you build up your personal brand, that theme of building your personal brand, opportunities will avail themselves for consulting. So you'll be able to start paying, you know, and, you know, when I first was a consultant, you know, I don't remember, maybe I charged $50 an hour. I charge, you know, between $10,000 and $15,000 a day minimum now as a consultant. So you could see how you could grow it over time as your personal brand increases and as you continue to build successes, $10,000 will be a nominal amount on a monthly basis. But to get started, it really emanates from your personal brand. What is your personal brand? What would someone say about you when you're not in the room? Another way of looking at your personal brand is, I think anybody that's out there, stop selling. Stop selling, start adding value. That's probably a whole other thing, but you could Google me and you'll see that I write on this topic and I think a lot about it. But so as you continue to add value through writing and through public speaking and through doing interviews and all this stuff, you'll find your consulting rates will go up pretty significantly over time. The next one is public speaking, right? So in the early days, you're not going to get paid to public speak, most likely. But as time goes on and as you do some of the things we were chatting about, there will be opportunities to make some income, monthly income from public speaking. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people will get caught up on like, you know, how much should I charge? You know, I think whenever you get asked to speak publicly, you should ask them, you know, what is the, what are the arrangements? You know, do you cover travel? Do you cover, is there a speaker stipend? That kind of thing. And then finally, as you're building your personal brand and you're building out your blog content, any of the blog posts that you write or any of the ideas that you have to share could become products in and of themselves, right? So they can become, you know, short digital books that you publish on Amazon. They could become information products where you take an approach where, you sell that info product, through like ClickBank or through one of these affiliate networks where you could actually make some income there. But if you focus on your personal brand and do some of those things, I think within short order, you could be making $10,000 or more a month.
Those are awesome tips. Thank you so much for sharing them. So I believe that most of our listeners deep down inside have a burning desire to do something to make a difference in this world. So what is the first step that they should take?
You just need to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the left-hand side of a blue double block to a single mother, government assistance, you know, literally with nothing. But what I had was the ability to convince myself that I had everything that I needed was within me to become whoever I wanted to become. So to help you take that first step, you need to remove the limitations that you put on yourself to taking that step. You've got to believe in your heart that you've got everything you need to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. You need to realize that failure is an opportunity. It's not an endpoint. It's an experience. And experiences are what make life incredible. And if everything went perfect, you know what? Things wouldn't be that great. We all deserve and need to experience challenges and failures and hardships. That's just life. But you need to embrace that. It's coming no matter what, whether you embrace it or not. So instead of not taking action because you fear failure, why not look forward to learning, you know, and experiencing a life where you're following your goals, your dreams, your destiny. And it's not going to happen overnight, but you will build, you know, your muscles over time. And the key really, Amy, again, I'll go back to, is just getting clear on your outcome. All right, I challenged everybody earlier with the piece of paper. I have a second challenge. I want you to spend at least a half an hour with several pieces of paper in front of you. And I want you to write down who you want to become. What do you want to achieve? Be specific and be emotional. Be emotional. And why, importantly, why you want to achieve these things. Do not put down a goal or do not, you know, write something down unless you also say why. And I can tell you, when your goals are more about other people than they are about you, the why is more about other people. When it's about contribution, it's about impact, it's about living a life of happiness and positive energy because of the impact it has on your immediate, the people in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers. This will help you take action. But anyway, make sure you do that. Make sure you write down your outcome. Who is it that you want to be? And realize that you might change it in a couple of years. But you got to take that first step. You know, stop, you know, Tony Robbins says, the stories about whether or not we can or we can't, you know, define who we become. You need to remove the kind of limiting beliefs and the things that are about your story about why you can't. I have my six-year-old son saying, every time he says can't, I look at him, I say, Chris, he says, all right, daddy, if you can't, you must. So I got him saying that. Over time, you become, you know, you just become, it becomes a little bit easier to kind of pick yourself up when shit doesn't work out. You know, right. it becomes a little bit easier to do interviews like this when the reason I'm doing this interview is because you're giving me an incredible opportunity to engage with your audience. And you know what? I always used to say, and I still feel this way, but I think I've increased my goal. But I always used to say, if just one person out there, you know, felt inspired to take action, just like you just asked the question, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is that clicked for them, that this would have been so well worth, you know, the hour that we spent on it. But for now, I just think everybody, like, honestly, I'm not the only one out there that has this message. Amy, you have this message. There's a ton of leaders out there that are trying to convince others that we all have it. It's there. It's within us now. You know, we need to believe in ourselves. We need to embrace experience and then take action.
Such powerful words, Chris Jones. Thank you so, so much. And before we wrap up for today, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, no, I mean, I appreciate the platform and the opportunity. I'm always happy to connect with people. I'm pretty active on social media, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and those kind of things. Happy to accept any LinkedIn invites out there. Just mention that that you heard me on the show. And yeah, you know, best of luck to everyone. You know, you ultimately have the key to your destiny. You ultimately control who you become. There's the outside forces are nothing but experiences and will help shape who you become, but it's really your decision about who you want to become and what you want to do with your life that will shape it. So, yeah, Godspeed to everybody. And thank you so much again for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Chris Jones, I have gotten the chills so many times throughout this interview. You are such a gift to this world. So thank you. And thanks for being one of our speakers for Miracle Business Breakthrough, and we do hope to chat with you again in the near future. And to those of you who are listening to our series, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into a dream business. Take care.